Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study of Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, titled, The Peace of God. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And now we begin our study of Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, titled, The Peace of God. This is part 1 of 2.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 through 7. The message, our Bible study, is titled, The Peace of God. Philippians 4, 5 to 7. I'll give you a minute to turn there. We continue with the closing chapter. This is it for Philippians, as Paul provides some final instructions. So if you're there, beginning of verse 5, read 5, 6, and 7 with me. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this gathering this morning. We thank you for everyone who's made it. A couple of people might still make it in a little late. We just pray for them to make it safely. Pray for the many who are watching on live stream and those who hear this later on. It does not matter when it's heard. It is the Word of God. And we pray the Holy Spirit would bless our time in study. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, we're going to start by just making a statement. Other Bible believers ought to see you as biblically balanced. Amen. Now, look closely at that. I'm specifying who should see you as biblically balanced. Other Bible believers. In verse 5, he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. That verse is almost always thrown out on the table when people want to talk about whether it's a sin to drink alcohol. And the point of the... just look real hard, you're not going to find anything about alcohol in the text. It's about the way you live your life, and that could include alcohol. Let your moderation be known unto all men. If you're a drunk, then there's a problem. And if you're drinking and it's causing any problems in your life, there's a problem. If you're drinking and you shouldn't be drinking for health reasons, let's say you have diabetes and you can't stay away from the beer, there's a problem. If you're drinking and you really can't afford to be spending all that money on those fancy schmancy drinks that you're drinking, there's a problem. I do not jump on the bandwagon of the all drinking is a sin, because the Bible tells us there's times where you give people wine. And a lot of the fundamentalists out there get up all in their cackles about it, and they're just going to have to get over it. Because I'm not jumping on that change the Bible to meet my convictions bandwagon. But what I will say is this. There is never an excuse. Never an excuse for a Christian to be drunk. There is never an excuse for a Christian to spend money on booze when they haven't paid their bills. They haven't given to the Lord's work the way they ought to. They shouldn't be drinking if it's going to hurt their health, etc. And so you kind of dwindle down the number of people who should be ever touching alcohol right there to a small number. Right there. And if you're drinking in order to, you know, drown your sorrows, you just replaced the Lord with booze. There's something wrong there. And now on the same... I'm not going to get into the alcohol thing in depth this morning. But I want to tell you something, that there's two extremes in this discussion, and neither one of them are biblical or healthy. And one side wants to excuse the drinking, and they'll come up with any reason so they can get sauced. And then there's the other side who are so extreme in their desire to condemn all who ever drink that they end up tampering with the Word of God. And once you can do it there, then you're going to start doing it. It's going to be a habit. You're going to start messing with the Bible to fit your other opinions that aren't in there. And that's what you got in independent fundamental churches today. You got fundamental Baptists who want to take, be not drunk with wine, where it is excess. Now, is that grape juice? It's wine, because you can get drunk on it. So then they go in, and every time they don't like it, they change wine to grape juice. Why? Because it's legit? No, it's because they want to match their own convictions. Well, then suddenly they'll start finding that men ought to have to wear ties every time they come to church, and women should always wear dresses and never wear pants, and all these other extra-biblical hogwash that they add to the Bible because it's their convictions, and they want to change God's Word to match their opinions. And so we're just not going to do that. But therein, right there, you're talking about another issue of moderation. If someone is so consumed with their own opinion that they have to change the Bible, that's not moderation. You're off the deep end. Amen? And, you know, there are people who should be right there in those pews this morning, and they're not here because they lack moderation. They get mad over one thing, and they run. They go off and never come back. Something they don't like. I mean, if somebody doesn't like red, they are not going to come to this church. I mean, look at all the red, and I wear red all the time. You think there are people who have stopped going to churches because they don't like the color scheme. I hate paneling. I just can't stand going in that church and seeing paneling everywhere. It reminds me of the home I was raised in, and I just wasn't happy, and I'm not kidding you, that's for real. No moderation. Our lives should be moderated, that's what that means. Our lives should be moderated by biblical truth. And the reality of the imminent rapture. Amen. You know, if you're looking for Jesus to come at any moment, you're not going to get hung up on stupid things. Amen? Amen? You're just not going to. I can't go. Well, I've heard from several people, I just can't listen to a man who shaves his head and has a goatee. Well, then I grew out some hair and got a beard. I can't listen to somebody who has a long beard like that. And, you know, I don't think it matters what you look like. But, this whole thing of the clean-shaven thing, you know, that's not a biblical thing. Amen. They plucked the Jesus facial hair, so evidently he wasn't clean-shaven. Yep. And if you look at the people who built the churches over the years that we now enjoy, the church buildings, but I mean the churches, no matter what building they're meeting in, they are a bunch of grizzly looking guys with hair down to their shoulders and beards. And then all of a sudden the 20th century came along and extra biblical revelation. Couldn't have hair to the collar, had to be clean shaven. As an image, that's right. You know what they look like? These fundamental churches, they look like a mafia convention. You ever notice that? You look at them, they all got on dark suits and ties and everything. You just expect the pastor to walk in and say, "Hey, everyone, it's wonderful to see the family together. Getting along like this. Glad to see Brother Steve in here after I almost had to break his kneecaps." And they're convinced that that's somehow God's idea that they all look like that. Some of you know because you've been there. I've been there. The world, this is just a little reality check one thing there. The world and worldly professing Christians will always see real Bible believers as nuts. That's why I specified that Bible believers should see you as biblically balanced. Because the world and worldly Christians, you're already nuts. All this talk about the rapture. You bunch of these Christians, man, they just think they're all going to disappear one day. Yeah, this is just Well, that's the people who actually study it. Most people don't even study it. They just think you're stupid for believing in it. They're just going to disappear one day. You know, can you imagine what they're going to do when the day comes? What they're going to do is flip out. And they're going to say it's aliens or something. Like, that's not crazy. You're crazy for believing in the rapture. It's not crazy to believe aliens are going to snatch us. But when most of your fellow Bible believers see you as given to extremes, then you're not following this biblical instruction. Now, you wouldn't be here this morning if you fell into this category, as far as I know. But outside of those doors, when you walk out the next 6 days of the week, you know, I don't know exactly what you're up to and everything, but there are fundamental Bible-believing, King James-only believers that are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And now you're having to deal with all these guys going off the deep end on the flat earth. Yep. Have you seen that? Oh, man. The earth's flat. It's not a globe. And then you got people going off on the Mandela effect. No, I still hear from, just last week, I got another one. I quoted a Bible verse. Oh, no, it was the title of the message was, Every Knee Should Bow. And I got a note from one of these people who said, well, that's the Mandela effect. It actually should say, shall bow. But due to the Mandela effect, it's changed to should bow. That's what they're saying. They're saying the Bible itself, let alone history, all kinds of things you know, you think you know about history, didn't really happen. Well, the Bible does say shall. That's what I try to tell you. In Romans, it does say shall bow. But where we were at, it says should bow. And the problem it was, that's just, I'm just telling you, the problem with this is we run into all these people all the time who, before they got saved, they were zombies. And when they got saved, they stopped doing their drugs or whatever. They cleared their mind. And then when they had a thought, some of them think they're hearing from heavenly, you know, it's a divine message just by having the thought. Other people think they remember something, and when it doesn't match what they see, they're like, oh, spooky. That's what they what was that? What was some of the, some of you know what I'm talking about. What was some of the big ones they come out with for? Huh? Yeah. The Berenstain Bears. What was the Berenstain Bears thing? What? That was a cosmic thing that changed that, you know.
Well, it was based on Nelson Mandela. It was, did he die back in the 80s in prison, or did he die in 2012?
Which he died in 2012.
Started the fight,
yeah. It's just, see, and now they thought, well, wait a minute. The reality I lived in, he's already been dead. And now you're telling me in 2012 he just died? It's just because they don't have a good memory. And they think they remember things. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Wait a minute. Is that what he really said? Yeah, that's what that's all about. Yeah, the Bible never says that the lion shall lie with the lamb. It says the wolf will lie with the lamb. But it's been misquoted for 30 years. I'm just saying from my own observation, it's probably been quoted misquoted for longer than that. And people put it in songs, the lion and the lamb. But the Bible's always said wolf and the lamb. But these people are like, oh, no, it used to say lion and lamb. And due to the Mandela effect, the Bible's been changed. And now it says wolf and lamb. Yeah. And sadly, I'm just telling you, some of those people are professing Christians, and I believe they're saved. They're just cuckoo. Amen. And that's what you're dealing with when it comes to the nuts among the Bible believers. What? No, it's just like a cosmic change to history as you think you know it.
More like a butterfly effect.
Which I have no idea what that is.
Most of the shows we've watched suggest that if something had changed in history, So you wouldn't know it.
No, this. Yeah. That's the thing is, I believe if it really did change, that's the reality.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Mandela effect, they all know it, and they're convinced of it. So the bottom line is those last five words in verse 5. The Lord is at hand. That if you live your daily life with the reality that this could be your last day on earth. Of course, you could get run over by a bus or have a heart attack. But you could be raptured because the Lord is at hand. If you live your life like that, well, let's see how 1 John 3 describes this. 1 John 3, I think we read the first couple of verses recently. 1 John 3, beginning verse 1 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." And that's why the world thinks you're a nutcase. Now read verse 2 with me. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now, we talked about that when we studied that he's going to change our vile body to make it like unto his glorious body. Amen? Some of you remember that. Some of you have been affected by the Mandela thing. But that happened. Verse 3, read it with me. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." You see, you're going to live that Bible-moderated life if you're looking for this. If you're looking for the rapture. You're looking for the moment when your body is going to be turned from vile to glory. And you realize the Lord is at hand, it could happen today. Now, people who live like that are people who are not caught up in nonsense, who don't waste a lot of their time doing stupid things, who are careful to live their lives according to the Word of God. You see how that works? Now, it gets into particulars, but the general truth is, if you're looking for Jesus at any moment, it's going to affect the way you live. Now, here's the lie that is out there by the post-tribbers and the pre-rathers, that people who believe the rapture isn't going to happen now and could happen somewhere in the next 7+ years, telling everybody, you don't have anything to worry about. Jesus ain't coming. Don't worry about it. He's not coming for at least 7 years. That's what they're preaching.
Yeah.
And what they lie about us and say is that because we just believe we're all going to be raptured out, then we just don't really care about the Lord or anything, and we don't really serve the Lord. We're just kind of going through life winging it. You know, the stupid thing about that lie against us is that throughout church history, you just read church history, and you'll find that the most active periods of church history is when people were looking for the imminent rapture.
Amen.
And right now, why you don't have churches that are King James Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, dispensational churches doing much of anything these days, and it's getting worse and worse with each passing year, is because those nuts are out there building bunkers and doing things out there on their own. They're lone ranger sort of Christianity, and they can't, Jude calls them sensual, who separate themselves instead of coming into the family of God and being part of a local church.
Amen.
We've got some folks who have come here locally, and they were all into that end of the world bunker mentality. God isn't doing anything with them, and he won't. Because they're too busy preparing for something that God doesn't even have prepared for them. We have not been appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation. The 70th week of Daniel, the time of tribulation, is about God's wrath. And he's not going to pour that out on Christians. That's for the Christ rejecters. And those who are saved after the rapture, they're going to have to live through that or die. That's what they're facing. And it's just a big lie being told out there about Christians who are looking for the rapture, because we, according to the Word of God itself, tells you that it has a purifying effect in your life. Just think about it. Think about your own life. Those times where you're all about yourself and you're all thinking about them, and were you any use to the Lord at all? But those times where when you're thinking of the Lord and you're thinking of the possibility of the rapture at any moment, and you're in the Word, that's when God's using you. That's when God will do something with you. And so God's Word is true. Amen? That's what it says. So verse 6 begins then saying, be careful for nothing. See, there's a connection here. You not only live your life according to God's Word and please Him, but you will be careful for nothing. And what that word in this context, it means to be full of care. The moderated believer, we'll use that term, looking for the rapture, will not be overcome with anxieties. You're not going to be fretting over... I mean, there's people right now who are deeply depressed because of the omnibus bill and that Donald Trump's signed this terrible legislation. It is. It's terrible. And I mean, they're funding Planned Parenthood, and there's all kinds of other stuff in there. And we were hoping that he would veto it. But because of the military budget, he claimed that because of that, he signed it. And, well, you know what? I mean, I think it's terrible, and I wish he would have vetoed it. But number one, still better than having Hillary. Now, you can't say amen to that. There's something wrong with your thinking capabilities. But number two is, you know, I don't expect the millennium right now. I don't expect things to... I just ask the Lord to give us a little more time for until He raptures us out of here. Help us to maintain and to continue on to preach the gospel and to allow us to protect our loved ones by not allowing the government to take our guns, for example. You know, I'm not asking for much. If you are, I just think you're asking for way too much. And why is that? Well, because those who are not focused on the fact that the Lord is at hand, they are going to be full of care and matters that they really shouldn't be worried about. And folks, you know, I know people like that whose lives are just always a mess because they're just so about what's going on in the world. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you shouldn't vote. I'm not telling you shouldn't write your congressman. I'm not telling you shouldn't take a stand, because I'd be a hypocrite, because I do all those things. What I'm saying is you won't let it put you in some deep depression, put you in the corner over here where you're in a fetal position. And there's people like that. Now, I also want to say that we're not talking about anxiety or panic that's brought on by very real physical, mental conditions. I'm not talking about that. I know. I just want to make sure I make that clear. There are people who have maybe a cyst or a tumor they don't even know about, or they have effects of medications or things like that. Just in any physical condition you either know or don't even know you have can affect you in those ways. We're talking about self-induced panic resulting from a refusal to follow God's instructions. And that's what I see a lot of Christians dealing with. They have so much that Satan uses it to neutralize them. They are not serving the Lord. They're not doing the things they ought to do. They haven't for years, and they won't for years, because they're neutralized by their own self-inflicted panic and anxieties. Choices that they make, and they continue to make the choices. And when you try to talk to them, they just will not listen. It's like talking to a brick wall. And they won't make changes. And so they're always panicked and anxious. And it's all because of their own self-infliction of those panics, those anxieties. In a related story, did you see this? an ancient virus could be responsible for human ability to think.
Wow.
Well, the way I see a lot of human beings thinking, I could believe that. Spend much time on social media and you're like, what is wrong with these people? Obviously, there's a virus that's responsible for that kind of thinking. Amen? I mean, what you saw yesterday at that March for Our Lives, it should have called it March for Our Enslavement. Never in human history are there a bunch of human beings going to the government and saying, please disarm us and turn us into a huge concentration camp from sea to shining sea. That's what they were calling for yesterday. It's this generation, and I'm not just talking about the millennials there, but I'm talking about the generation from about 1960, the baby boomers on, a bunch of brain dead idiots.
Amen.
Our founding fathers would be sickened by modern America today.
Amen.
They said, give me liberty or give me death. Today's generation says, you just make sure no one hurts me. Yeah.
Yes.
Charlie, that hurt my feelings. Safe spaces.
Right.
We need safe spaces. Yeah. The people who founded this country, and right on through the 19th, right up to the end of the 20th century. I mean, well, we would be remiss not to mention those who put an end to slavery. Why do we have free blacks right here in our midst this morning? Because there were blacks in the 19th century who said, I will not be a slave. What you saw yesterday was make me a slave.
Right.
The exact opposite. And you know, they don't want to give you credit for that, but they don't want to give us credit for that, but it was Christians. Christians who fought to put an end to slavery.
Amen.
In the Revolutionary War, Christians fought for freedom. So why are we seeing what we're seeing today? Because of apostasy.
That's right.
And today's version of Christianity is, well, it's puke.
Amen. Amen.
Read it over there in Revelation 3. Laodicea, you make God want to puke.
Amen.
That's modern Christianity.
Right.
Yeah. I spew thee out of my mouth, God says. Well, it would make you think that they were given the ability to think by a virus. So I had to bring that up. Verse 6 ends saying, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. No, today it is, give me a Bible that's mushed up, chewed up, and spit out like baby food so I can understand it. That King James is just too hard to understand. Meanwhile, they make a living as a computer programmer. Meanwhile, when you talk to them about the Bible, they want to discuss Greek. But the King James Bible's too hard for you to understand, then you want to talk to me about Greek? Are you insane? Yes. It's nutty. And it's, so instead of having the power of God's Word, they have to turn to many, many other things. But if you are under the influence of God's Word and His Holy Spirit, then in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and you say amen at the end of that prayer, and then you let God do it. Let God work.